Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we are watching episode 264, Power Rangers in Space, episode 14, The Beryllian Sting.
It aired May 2nd, 1998, written by John Fletcher and directed by Judd Lynn. Judd Lynn's taking a break from writing to do a directing. Good for him. And joining us today to help us talk about this Beryllian Sting is Alan Sells.
Hey, everybody.
Who's in my house next to us. We
Go
didn't
to
like,
my house.
Eating my cookies.
Eat my cookies.
My cookies.
We didn't want him to be on this episode, but he was in my house already, so we had to let him be.
Well, thank you for that glowing introduction, Jake. I really...
Alan, I wanted you.
Really appreciate it. I feel
there's a little. There's a little part of me, Alan, that wants you on every episode.
Aw. Thank you. See, Josh just became my favorite. Deal with it.
I'm okay with that. Alan, when we have guests on, we ask them a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if you're new here, we pause it and we talk. You guys get it. So, Alan, first question. How did you get into Power Rangers?
Mine was actually kind of a circular route. So Power Rangers, I was of the age when Power Rangers was a big thing. But my mom was actually pretty strict about what we could and could not watch. People were talking about Power Rangers. I talked to her about Power Rangers. She was like, okay, I'll sit down and watch an episode with you and we'll see if you can watch it. And I want to say it was Food Fight that was my first episode.
That's everyone's first. That should be everyone's first episode.
And she sat down and watched it with me and I fell in love with it immediately. I was very enamored by it. And at the end, I was like, okay, so what did you think? And she was like, well, there's a lot of violence. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, but there's a nerd on there and he actually seems kind of cool. So yeah, you can watch it. And so Billy is my favorite, which I think is another question.
That's a coming up question. Yeah. Thanks for jumping on me.
You're welcome. But that's part of the reason.
Cool. What's your favorite Power Ranger?
Billy. And part of the reason is he's the reason I can watch Power Rangers is because my mom saw
him. To this day,
him.
Your mom still only allows you to watch Power Rangers.
She makes fun of me for it. She was like, you still watch that crap? And I was like, yeah. But no, he was the nerdy kid. He was, you know, the one in glasses. He was the smart one, but he also was still very able to contribute to his friends and be there for him. Actually wrote a whole article on Billy for when Blue comes out.
When the Bluesy comes out. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys, do you remember that?
Hey, guys. Hey,
I just did.
Hey, everyone. The Bluesy is going to come out. Don't worry.
It is. It is.
And if you haven't sent anything in, just go ahead and send some stuff in.
You've got time.
You got a little bit more time. It's been a busy...
Whatever.
Quarter?
Yeah.
The first quarter is always very busy for the Morphin Grid. And then I guess what's your favorite season?
Okay, so...
Make your children fight. Who do you love more?
There's actually a couple of different answers to this.
You only get one. Oh. Favorite means number one. Who is number one?
It's Ashley. Ashley's number one.
Is this child Alan or adult Alan?
This is...
You now.
Current... Giant-sized Alan.
Current giant-sized
Alan. Giant-sized Alan number one.
Probably Mighty Morphin season one.
Okay.
I'll stick with the OG. As a kid, it was the ninja season, simply because I loved the ninja costumes.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, they don't look like KKK outfits when you're a kid, which is crazy. And when you're adult, you're like, oh, there were some decisions made. I still like them. I still think they're very cool, but like, I can see it.
Yep.
The ninja suits?
Because they're the points that their hoods come up to.
Specifically Tommy.
Specifically Tommy.
Do their hoods point?
Yes.
That's not how I picture it.
They don't point a lot, but they point enough that from certain angles you're like, uh-oh, what is going on here?
And Tommy's is white.
Bright, yeah. Well, so there's some troubling.
Well, I always just liked the headband version of those.
Yeah,
I do too. I don't like when they go full ninja. I like the headband. Yeah. Plus Billy had cool hair.
He did. He had his hot dad
hair. Yeah, he was the hot dad with cool hair. So
Kim also had great hair, but that's just like kind of a rule for Kim. Do we have any other questions or is it just the three?
I think that's it.
Cool. So we're going to go watch The Beryllian Sting right now.
Let's rock it!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Rangers in Space!
And we're back. and we just watched The Brilliant Sting, and I remembered it as Power Rangers meets Aliens, James Cameron's Aliens, not Ridley Scott's Alien. They're in the same universe. Don't worry about it.
I'm done. Not worried about it.
That was a real great film school joke, and a lot of people that went to film school probably thought it was funny. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is our website. You can email us at littleidiots.morphinGrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play. And if you want to leave us a rating or review, that would be great. It helps out a bunch, and we really appreciate it. And finally, we're on Patreon. Patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. If you go there and donate as little as $1 a month, you help support the show, and you get some cool stuff in return. Sooner than later, there will be some more teenage tattooed mutant alien fighters.
Tattooed teenage alien fighters from Beverly
Hills. That's the one. I was going to end it on Beverly Hills, but I got lost in the woods before I got there. The woods of Beverly Hills. I don't think there are any woods in Beverly Hills.
There might be like a couple trees.
There's a woods.
There might be a park.
Yeah, here's a park, and this is the spot where three trees are. This is the woods.
This is the woods.
This is the woods.
So we are going to jump right in because we don't have any. It's Friday episode, and we have a guest on. So perfect storm of not having to do any extra stuff. Also, woo! We're very ahead. We have seen the movie by now.
We have.
Yeah.
So now we're current. We did a whole thing about it. You guys probably heard it. Sorry for swearing so much, but I bleeped them all. So just like warn your kids. You guys ready? You guys ready to jump in?
Mm-hmm.
We start off on what seems like the same planet as a couple episodes ago with the Phantom Ranger, because it's like a jungly planet.
I was thinking that too, and they assume Zordon's there?
They're following a distress signal. I think we find out in a minute. Yeah. I don't know if we know that right away. But Cassie finds a footprint, and I thought it was going to be the Phantom Ranger's footprint. Well, I thought that's where we were going.
She says it's a Piranatron footprint, but the spoilers, guys, no Piranatrons in this episode. They don't show up. No time for them.
And then TJ has his little, like, tracker device. He's following the distress signal.
Turbo Navigator.
We get to Ecliptor, who's like, it's a trap. So I think he might have just planted the footprint. He just like has a Piranatron foot, and he was like, right here.
I wouldn't doubt that Clippy just has a Piranatron foot.
And that would kind of make sense, because the footprint looked real weird, because it looked like mud, but obviously was not. And, obviously that's just prop department. But hey, if we can kayfabe it into, it was a fake footprint that they brought in and hid so that they can lure them into this cunningly laid ambush that no one could see coming.
Classic Clippy prank. Put that footprint down and trick him. Okay, first of all,
he had an RC controller that was his fake distress signal.
Yeah,
straight up RC controller.
Yeah, my Crashback is luring them right where I need them to be.
That's two Crashback references in three episodes.
It's the only RC car that's at the front of my brain.
Okay, that makes sense. So then Darkonda shows up. Darkonda is, if a centipede was inverted, or maybe like if a centipede was also a Venus flytrap.
Kind of.
I think that's a better description, yeah.
Yeah, his chest is a Venus flytrap that's eating his head and like bust area.
Yeah.
He's a cool design, I think. I like Darkonda's design.
He's a very evil zipper.
A very evil zipper indeed.
And then he shows up and he's like, hey, I'm going to beef with you, Clippy. And Clippy's like, get out of here, I hate you.
He tells him, he's like, I thought I told you never to darken my part of the galaxy again.
Yeah.
Get it? Because his name is Darkonda.
Darkonda. I call him DK for the rest of the episode in my notes. So
he's finally here and about time to.
He's the first member of the DK crew.
Are we not going to talk about his sword?
Well, he does have an extendo sword.
He has an extendo sword that is vaguely phallic, but
I don't think it's phallic. I had the same kind of thought.
My problem with this sword is it starts out little and stubby, and then it just grows into a regular blade.
That's so you can hide it better.
But the thing that makes me do that is that immediately they like lock swords, and it's very like macho.
The reason I thought it was phallic is because I was like, look at this little sword, and
that
then
just got bigger.
It grew into a big one, and it was like a tight close up of the sword growing the whole time.
Yeah, well, I mean, it has to be so they can like do the CGI to it. They had to like lock the shot down. Yeah, I mean, like it is phallic in that, yes, boners, but like, I don't know. It didn't look like a dick or anything.
Well, no, but it felt like a I am more masculine and stronger than you, and then they kind of got into their altercation.
I still think Clippy's was bigger, though.
I think it was, yeah.
It was. Certainly girthier.
Very true.
Okay, we can move on.
You guys brought it up.
I know, I'm bringing it down.
You handed me the baton, I'm finishing the relay.
Well, you made it.
I did it.
Well, then Darkonda makes fun of Clippy for setting a trap.
Yeah, he's like, oh, a predictable ambush. And then he's like, ambush him. And then they all run. And Darkonda's like, you're so stupid, Clippy. And then we go to the theme song. The Rangers, like, engage in combat. And my favorite part is that, like, 2 feet behind the Rangers fighting Quantrons is just a Clipper, like, fist pumping. He's like, yeah, get him. You're gonna help, buddy?
Yeah, why isn't he helping?
You're super good at, like, beating them up. Remember that time you almost killed Andros?
And plus, if you die, you'll just come back.
No big deal.
You got plenty of bodies to spare. So we go to the theme song, when we come back, Darkonda, he had, like, this, like, not a bindle. It was like a burlap sack.
Yeah, it was like a sack slung over his shoulder. So he has the gifts for all the good girls and boys.
All the good DK crew. And so he dumps it out, and it's like this big, like, beehive-type deal, or an alien pod. Except, guys, it actually is an alien pod.
Wouldn't it have been cool if it looked like a watermelon, though, just to justify that scene?
Oh, that would have been
very
good.
That would have been so nice! It's not. It's not a watermelon. So he cuts it open, and this little, like, it looks like a tarantula, or maybe like a fly, like a plastic hand-sized fly toy that they just, like, spray painted orange and put like
some vampire fangs on the front.
Yeah, maybe put some blue Sharpie marks on it every so often.
Yeah, and it's like it runs right into, or flies right into Carlos and bites him on the arm.
Well, no, he doesn't get bitten. He gets stung.
I think it stung me. Hey, don't make fun of that guy. He follows you on Twitter.
He does follow me on Twitter.
Carlos does.
Carlos follows me on Twitter.
What?
Yeah.
This is news to me.
Oh, we haven't told
you? Oh, buddy.
You?
Yeah.
I feel like I have it in the group chat, but it might have been a day you were on vacation.
Maybe.
So.
Yeah, also.
I apologize.
You just don't
Mr.
keep
Valdez,
up with it.
You're really cool.
Yeah, I don't keep up with the group chat. If I'm in it, I'm usually like
Velasco.
An hour behind.
I'm very bad.
I'm glad no Power Rangers followed us or the show. That's kind of my take on this.
We tried to get JDF to retweet us like way early on. We, like, tagged him in a Green with Evil tweet or something.
Oh, we did. We were so young. That would have been nice, though.
That would have been a good bump like that early. Bump, yeah. But I'm glad it didn't happen because we were very new then.
Yeah. I don't think we were ready for that kind of fame.
No.
For that JDF bump. So anyway, they grab him and they're like, all right, we gotta go. We gotta get out of here because you've been bit. So they, like, teleport away.
But we get the resurgence of the turbo teleport.
Yeah, it's like the weird, like, brain and then the comet trail.
I have a problem with this.
Why don't they ever use it?
Why? Especially later this episode when TJ is running away. Why didn't he just teleport away instead?
I don't know. I feel like they should have gotten on their Galaxy gliders. I feel like that would have
also
been the call.
You can't ambush them if they can always just leave.
Yeah, it's like in Zelda. If five Guardians are bearing down on me with their lasers about to blow up, I can still teleport away.
You just teleport out.
I can just leave from there. If I'm falling and I don't have any stamina and I'm going to die, I can just teleport away.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy.
I always forget that.
I'm almost never in a convenient place. It's never like, oh, I can just teleport right over here and I'll be fine, and then I can come back. It's like, no, I'm in the middle of nowhere. There's no shrines around. If I teleport now, I'm going to walk back.
So they get Carlos to the sick bay, and they actually had some pretty cool makeup for the sting effect. Or I thought it was cool anyway.
It is neat.
It definitely looked like colored pencils to me.
But it was very veiny. And
yeah.
It looked like it was running up his arm. We come back a little later, and he's got it like on his chest and stuff.
Yeah.
And at that point, he was also like sweating, or he was at least wetted to look like he was sweating.
Oh, yeah.
But it looked like runny washable marker, like someone let their 2-year-old just like color him.
It was a lot of like circles, like line, you know, like wavy lines. Before that, though, Clippy goes back to yell at Darkonda for ruining his sweet ambush, and Darkonda's just gone, and there's like a half a Beryllian bug thing. Oh, spoilers. This is the Beryllian bug. This is what the thing was.
Oops.
If you couldn't figure it out. back on the ship, they're like, this is bad, Carlos. All your vitals are going crazy right now. And Anders is like, hey, what did that bug look like? And he's like, I don't know. And I don't think Carlos was awake at this point.
Yeah, he was. Because Andros asked Carlos if it feels cold.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, do you know what it is? He's like, No.
No, well, maybe. I don't
Andros
know.
Got secrets.
Oh, he got secrets. So Andros is like, TJ, can I steal you away? Let me talk to you over here. And it's like they're away, and Carlos is just looking at them being like, yeah, he knows. He knows what's up with
me. So what do you think that conversation was of TJ and Andros? Because it's one of those things where it's from Carlos's perspective, so you don't hear anything they're saying.
Yeah.
I think it was exactly the conversation we hear in a minute of Andros explaining what it was to TJ.
I feel like he was like, hey, have you ever seen The Fly or James Cameron's Aliens?
They don't have those on KO35. Andros doesn't know what those are.
Oh, you're right.
They don't even have garages.
I totally, I just see it as, oh, BT-dub, he's going to die. Like, yeah. This is bad.
Hey, this is bad. And TJ's like, what do you mean? And then we cut away, and then later we come
back. Yeah, because he does, so he's probably just like, this is bad, I've seen this before. Because he does grab him and like, walk with me, talk with me, yeah, out of the shot.
Was that a reference to Babu that one time? Like in the first episode? When he's
now,
bringing,
yes.
Like, Rita,
talk
out?
With me.
Yeah, yep. That.
That's exactly what I did on purpose.
And we'll back you up on that, even if they question us separately. So then we cut to the Dark Fortress, and Astronema is there. And Cliffy doesn't walk in all mad yet, does he? Yes, he
does.
No,
yes, he does. Yeah, that's the next thing that happens.
He bursts in, grabs his Quantron by the face, and like pie faces him out of there. This other one like walks by, and he just like wedgies him and shoves him up against a wall.
The only thing I could think of when he was doing this was the Tatsu scene from Ninja Turtles where he goes in the locker room and just beats up a bunch of soldiers because he failed his mission.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought was happening.
And Shrama's like, whoa, you're all mad. What's up? And he's like, nothing. God, I hate Darkonda. Nothing. And then she's like, huh? What? And then Darkonda shows up, of course, because I guess there's...
Before we get to Darkonda.
Okay.
Astronema has new hair.
Oh, ba-doop, ba-doop, ba-doop. Yes, nope. Nope.
She's not dating it. She's not dating her hair.
I ship it. Continue. She got new hair.
She's got new hair. It's like kind of a metallic silvery, like darker silvery kind of color. Yeah. So I've labeled it the steel wool wig.
Okay. I saw just black.
I saw purple.
Well, there's three different kinds of people in the world.
It's a magic eye. What did you see?
And I rank it just below the Black Pharaoh wig. It's slightly better than the last one, which was Share with Jules.
Okay.
So it's ranked currently at number 2 on the list.
2 of 5?
Of 5. The full list is now Black Pharaoh, Steel Wool, Share with Jewels, White, and the Purple Shitty Wig.
Okay. That's rude. I feel like that's like a rude thing to call it, but they're your notes, whatever.
The headdress that goes with this wig, though. Her makeup and her headdress were really on point.
Yeah.
Yeah. She always has like a great look. They always like make sure they match up real nice.
Yeah.
Even that one time where she was like, had her coat up and she was like in that press conference and she's like, oh, they'll never notice me, even though she looks like a glam,
yeah,
like,
her whole
space
face
princess.
Her whole face is just covered in glitter.
Yeah. Well, she was facing away from the sun so that wouldn't reflect onto them.
This was very strategic the way she was standing.
Yeah. So he says, Darkonda shows up and because I guess there's no security on the Dark Fortress. Like, if you're evil, you can just come on in, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. Because didn't Elgar do the same thing? He just showed up. He's like, I'm your henchman now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dark Spectre demands it.
He said so.
For some reason, Dark Spectre wants me around.
Maybe Dark Spectre just like, we all have that like one friend where we're like, I don't know why I hang out with you. And maybe that is Elgar to Dark Spectre.
Or maybe Elgar just said Dark Spectre to get Astronomer
just to get a new
down.
Job. Yeah.
Ooh,
I like that.
I think that.
I think that works better. So Darkonda's like, hey, it's been a while. And she's like, I don't remember you. And we'll see something a little bit later.
Keep that in mind.
We'll see something a little bit later. And she's like, oh, it's been a long time. Don't worry about it. And Ecliptor like is mad at him. He's like, get out of here. I swear to God, I will cut your head off.
I'll cut your head off and feed it to your chest.
Feed it to your chest. This is when he reveals that a brilliant bug, like, stung Carlos, and then we cut to,
oh, but you're forgetting Astronema's brilliant thing where she's just like, oh, that's brilliant, brilliant, and then she turns the name of the bug into brilliant.
No, I said that.
No, I heard her say that.
Did,
too.
I don't think she did.
I don't know if it was.
I know she said brilliant.
I needed that to be out in the aether that happened.
I said a brilliant plan because she says everything a little hoity-toity.
Right. Well, she's the fanciest of evils.
She is.
She is a super fancy evil.
She is. Look at those pants. Oh, she's like weirdly flirting with.
Yeah, she's like caressing him a little bit.
Yeah, with Darkonda. So like, girls got weird tastes, but like, hey, do you? I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, like, I would probably, if someone had a Venus flytrap for a chest, I would probably kick them out of bed, but that's just me. We were just different people. We cut back to TJ and Andrew. I think at some point, between now and then, he's like, we got to go down and look for it. I just didn't write it down, I guess.
They hopped onto their galaxy gliders and were surfing around, or is that later?
That's right now.
No, that's right now.
Because right now they're checking, but I think earlier was when they did explain it, and I just missed it, the note.
Because they are definitely off ship when Andros tells them that, because then they back, because they're morphed, and they call back to Ashley and Cassie, and are like, that's why we have to go to KO-35.
Gotcha.
But, so, okay, that shot's really weird. That scene's really weird, because Andros is explaining it to TJ while they're surfing around on the planet.
Yeah.
And then we get the cut of them in the monitor saying, that's why we have to go back to KO-35. But then later it is played that Ashley and Cassie don't know about the bug.
Yeah, is a little weird. Between now and then, they do run into Darkonda, who releases another bug, and they, like, do some...
And they action morph, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
They rock it, but they don't go through the sequence.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. I love an action morph.
That's why they went back to the planet, to find the bug so Andros could confirm that's what it was.
He saw it because Darkonda released another one, and they did like this like sweet
because it was chasing TJ.
Darkonda's a fast teleporty boy, so he was teleporting all over the place. I really loved the shots of the galaxy gliders going through the forest, because they put the camera on the nose of the galaxy glider and we're having it go above and below branches.
They did
at one point it flies like between a split tree.
Judd Lynn did a really good job in directing this episode, in my
opinion. That was like definitely stolen from Evil Dead. That's like a camera technique they invented in there. I forget what it's called. It's like the Scud cam or something like that. It's basically like you put the camera on a board and you have two people like hold it real low to the ground or wherever, and you can like maneuver it that way. But it was like going through trees and stuff. It was pretty neat. So they do some wet stunts and they shoot the bug and it lands, and they're like, oh, it was a brilliant bug. This is bad. And then we do the whole thing where they start talking, and then they finish talking in the monitor to Ashley and Cassie, who then promptly forget and need to be told again, I think.
Yeah, because he says, all we see him tell Ashley and Cassie are, that's why we have to go to KO-35. Yeah. But presumably that means he just told them the same thing he told TJ.
Right.
Yeah.
About the bug and the antidote and everything.
By the way, there's an antidote on KO-35. We skipped over that.
Well, and we know that he told them that Carlos was in danger or was going to change, because they immediately go to the infirmary, and lo and behold, Carlos isn't Carlos anymore.
He's a drippy bug boy
He's a drippy bug with one weird arm.
He's a Mega Man villain.
He's a maverick. They gave him the old Mega Man treatment.
But they don't immediately go to KO-35 because they come back on the ship.
Yeah, well, they have to come back to the ship because they have to travel to KO-35, because I feel like they're far away from
fair.
It.
That's fair, yeah.
Because I think Deka says, like, setting a course for KO-35 or whatever. And then on the way there,
we see TJ Sweet Abs.
We do. Those tight abs in that shirt.
In that mega ship lighting, man, those abs gleam.
The real star of in space, those abs.
It's TJ's abs.
when they come back onto the ship, they find the girls who were, like, I guess, attacked, but not stung, not like just pushed over, because they're like sitting against the wall, and like one of the vents is ripped off, and there's like some, you know, ectoplasm from Ghostbusters around it.
Some gack.
They got some gack going on. Then Deka's like setting a course for KO-35, and the ship just like rockets away. And then we cut back to the Dark Fortress, and Elgar's like, I lost the mega ship. I don't know what happened. And then Darkonda comes on again, because I guess like he's just like got a standing appointment now. He can just show up. And he's like, oh, I know where they're going to get the antidote. And Clipper's like, there's no antidote. And he's like, yes, there is. There's totally an antidote on KO-35. I love how mad, like, Kliptor is so angry that he doesn't care if he's right or wrong.
He's like, he's mad because it's Darkonda's plan that got Carlos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that interrupted his plan.
Yeah, so he's mad that Darkonda's plan worked and his did not. But now he's also mad because Darkonda knows about the antidote.
I think it's because Astronema's all, like, snuggly with him.
Probably, yeah.
I think he's just mad that Darkonda's actually being competent.
Yeah, I mean, like, Clippy's been...
Yeah, but he's mad that there's actual competition.
But now there's competition, whereas before Clippy was the only competent one.
Yeah, it was Elgar.
Is Elgar going to one-up Clippy?
I don't think so. We cut back to the... Darkonda just like says like they're going to KO-35. There's an antidote. We're going to meet him. And Astronema's like, what a great plan. You're going to meet him there and kill him. And then we cut back
He tells Astronema, he's like, you should go meet them there. And then she says, good idea, you'll go meet them.
Yeah, which is really Astronema.
I kind of like that. It was super alpha. It was just like, yeah. I am in charge.
Yeah, you still do what I say on my ship, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm in charge. Look at my outfit. This is the outfit of an in charge person. So we cut back to the Astro Mega ship.
They're trying to make things spooky.
It's kind of like a horror movie for kids.
I dig it.
I liked it too. It had a really like baby Jason X vibe.
Yeah, it was
of them like lurking around the ship trying to avoid this monster.
It's the aliens part of the plot. And they first of all split up, which is a bad move. They split up into three groups. Cassie and TJ go to somewhere. Anders will go somewhere, and Ashley like hold tight, like hold the bridge.
Yeah, Ashley's headed toward the bridge. Anders is going, I don't remember where, and I think TJ and Cassie were headed to the engine room.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a terrible plan.
Because they're the Fred and Daphne of the group.
I guess, yeah.
And Ashley gets spooked in the bridge. And I kind of love that moment because there's so much tension. And then you hear, beep, beep, what was that?
And she's like, what was that?
Deca.
And Deca's, yeah, I am Deca. It's like, she's like, oh, Deca. Come on. It's like, scary in here.
I love it. It's trying to build tension in a very kid-friendly Power Rangers way.
Yeah, they're doing stuff that, like, doesn't happen on Power Rangers.
It's spoopy, but it's still fun.
Yeah. It's fun, yeah.
So then there's also Anders finds some gack on a wall. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, whatever. And
like you do
when you're looking for gack aliens.
Not just any gack, space gack.
Yes. Was that a different kind of gack, or are you just saying space gack?
I'm just saying space gack because they're in space.
Because I wouldn't doubt that space gack was a product you could buy in 1996.
It's probably just purple gack, or like a purple, gray, marbly...
Glow-in-the-dark
gack. Yeah. Or just glow-in-the-dark.
One of my other favorite things is that there is an entirely unnecessary Astro Megaship sign that's just in the corridor.
Yeah, just
a bunch of signs that's like bridge, engine room, but this one's just in the hallway and it says Astro Megaship.
In case you forget
where you are.
Yeah. I love that. It's like a weird callback to the Batman 60s show, which just
where everything's labeled.
Every single thing has a label on it.
I love that. I like it because it's like people are going to break into the ship. We might as well let them know. Might as well let them know where they are and get the branding right. So then we cut back. Oh, no, sorry. We cut over to TJ and Cassie, and they're like in the engine room, and Carlos shows up. And I think the others show up at the same time. Like they all just converge on the engine room. And then there's Sticky Carlos. And he like grabs Cassie and stings her. He does a lot of like gymnastics in the engine. Like, and they go to shoot him, but they're like, don't, you'll shoot the engine. That's super bad. But he like stings Cassie, and then like the next shot is them tying Cassie down. Is that immediately after this?
They are seatbelting her onto a bed.
There's like washcloths that have seatbelts on the end that they're like, this will hold a monster. Stay tuned for that. This is around the time does Deca announce that they're at KO-35, that they've reached it, or do they just like cut down to KO-35?
No, I think she does, because we had the conversation of the jump tubes, because TJ and Andros wind up in the jump tube room because Carlos is also there. They kind of scoot around him and then get into the jump tubes and go.
Do you think Carlos in his new Mega Man X form is too big to get through the jump tube, and that's why they're not worried about like locking them down or anything?
I wonder what would happen if a monster did go through.
Like, I was just thinking, because he is that's still Carlos' DNA in there. Would he be like this monster Power Ranger?
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be insane if they had to deal with that.
If they had that kind of budget, yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
But they'd have to make a whole original costume for that monster.
Yeah, I know. That's not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
So they land on KO-35, TJ and Andros do, and they are immediately in the antidote room. Like, they just find it like right away.
Hospital, antidote room, boom.
There might be, like, one establishing shot of them running somewhere before they get there.
Yeah, they find a cabinet with the antidote in it. There are exactly two, thank God.
Can we talk about this for a minute? And I don't know why it suddenly bothered me a little bit, because I know Power Rangers probably does this all the time.
Okay.
But they try to open the cabinet, and Andrew says, it's locked. And then he stands back, and instead of just shooting it, he announces, I'm going to shoot it.
I gotta shoot it.
It's instead of just like, it's locked, and being like, not anymore, and shooting it, or just like, I got it, and then shooting it. He has to announce like exactly the thing that he's going to do.
The other thing that bothered me was when he shot it, it actually became a different door. If you go back and look, like it was one type of mechanism at first. He shoots it and it's a completely different mechanism.
That's weird.
So I did not notice that. It's a transmutation ray.
Yeah, I guess. He turned the lock into a different lock that didn't
that work wasn't locked.
With the
that...
other handle.
Yeah.
But he opens up the case. There's two antidotes in there. And maybe more in different cases, because we will see a third antidote later, but I don't know where it came from.
The only thing I can think of is that there was one already loaded into the gun. But yeah. If that's the case, how did Darkonda get that third vial of antidote?
It makes no sense.
Darkonda having that third vial
was pointless.
In any case, doesn't make sense.
My kayfabe is that's just him trying to rub it in and be like, oh, this is your last hope, even though it's actually nothing.
Right. They've already used their two last hopes.
Exactly. And he's just trying to make them believe that there's nothing else, so he gets a vial and crushes it under his boot just to be like, haha.
Yeah.
Just for Andros to be like, we don't need it anymore anyway.
Yeah.
Which was kind of weird.
Yeah, like they do this all the time where they will set up a stake that you don't need because they've already fixed whatever the stakes are for.
Yeah.
And then the monster's like, aha, gotcha. And they're like, no. And that's it.
You did get us, but we fixed it now.
You got us 20 minutes ago. We're fine. So Darkonda shows up. Andros tells TJ to leave with the antidotes. So he runs up. He climbs up the side of the stairs, even though he's a foot away from going around him, but it's cooler to climb up, and I get it. He leaves. Andros and Darkonda start fighting. They fight into Sentai footage.
I'm just going to start referring to KO35 as the planet of Sentai footage, because this is where most of the Sentai footage happens.
It's basically all of it, yeah. They're fighting in this.
It's like a pipe hallway.
Yeah, it's a pipe hallway. In a hospital.
Yeah, because you got to the plumbing's got to go through something.
Well, look, so a hospital. They made a
special pipe hallway.
Hospital's got a lot of people in it. That's a lot of people pooping. You're going to need big pipes.
You're going to need big pipes, and they're going to need their own hallway because they take up so much.
It's just a whole thing. And if you got to do maintenance, you're going to need a whole hallway to do maintenance on those big pipes.
That's true. No, you're right.
Yeah, it's the only thing that makes sense. KO35 is the way of the future.
Or they're pneumatic tubes?
Pneumatic tubes.
Yeah.
For
people to just quickly zip for around the hospital.
People poop pipes.
Because there's an outbreak. You don't know where you're going to need that antidote next.
Yeah, you just shoot them right out. Or they're we got to get them across the hospital. Just hit a button.
It just leads outside and just launches them into the horizon.
This one's done. Whoop.
And as they're flying over, they just blast the antidote out of the gun.
I guess.
So we get what is probably my favorite line and Jake's least favorite line in the episode of, now I'm really going to bug you.
Yeah.
As
why? Darkonda. Why do you have this? What's the point, Darkonda? What are you trying to prove?
I think this is to rub it in that he's better than Clippy. He's got dad jokes too.
He's got dad jokes
See,
too.
See, I think Clippy's dad jokes are better.
That's fair.
His are at least delivered in an earnest way. Darkonda's is just in a I'm just saying this to annoy
I'm gonna
you.
Bug you.
Yeah, I'm gonna bug you. He's not well. I like Waluigi a lot better than I like Darkonda. So they fight, and then they're in the pipe hallway, and one of them gets punched into a courtyard.
Yeah,
now we're outside.
I feel like Darkonda grabs Andros, and they jump out of the camera, and then they fall 50 feet away from the building out into the entryway area where all the steps are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that was about.
That I think they just needed to get him outside, and they're just cut this 6-minute fight scene.
Although, let's be fair, Sentai does that too, where they'll just randomly, you'll kick, and then you're all of a sudden in a quarry, or you're all of a sudden outside.
Yeah, if you
when
go
you were in a building,
if you go off the camera, all bets are off. Yeah, where you're gonna end up.
That's Russian roulette teleportation. You're going somewhere, but we don't know where.
I haven't watched Mega Ranger, but I would be fairly safe in assuming that that was actually the cut.
I don't think so, because it's so far away, because they're inside in the pipe hallway, and then they're way outside, so I feel like there's got to be
some
connective tissue. Maybe they get in the pneumatic tube, and it shoots you out of the courtyard. Maybe that's what it is. That's what happened. He punched, Darkonda grabbed him, they jumped in the pneumatic tube together, and then they didn't have the budget to show it, so just whooped him out.
Accepted.
No prize. Please and thanks. Email that to me at your earliest convenience, Power Rangers. So then Andros pulls out his Battleizer, which apparently also has things that it can do to him, and he hits the number one, which is the flying power punch in the Megazord, But on him, it's just a Iron Fist punch.
Yeah. He becomes Iron Fist.
It just, his fist glows red and he punches. It's pretty awesome. I like it. I like the little like click down part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime this thing does that, I'm pretty into it. He super punches Darkonda, and then we cut back to the Astro Mega ship, and Ashley is on the bridge alone because she looks over. Deku's like, hey, there's a disturbance in the infirmary, and she looks, and the washcloths have ripped, and Cassie's gone.
RIP washcloths.
Yeah, now you're going to have to stop it. Angel Grove Washcloth Emporium next episode to go get them, to get new ones. And then we get this like really cool shot of like her like looking around, and then it cuts to the doors and they're like being lifted up by the two bugs by Cassie and Carlos. And like, I really liked how they did this tension, and then they're closing in on Ashley and they're like, you know, menacing her or whatever. And she's like, Cassie, Carlos, no, it's me. And before they can be like, oh, you're right, we're trying to break free, like, they get none of that.
No, she was about to shoot them. Yeah, I feel like you were about to say something different. She was trying to appeal to the people inside of them before she thought she might have to kill her friends.
I think Anderson at one point said, like, if you have to shoot them.
Yeah, defend the bridge even if you have to shoot.
And so she's, like, about to, and then one of them falls down, and there's just this baller shot of TJ behind it with like the barrel of this pneumatic like dart gun, I guess, behind, like right behind him, and it looks like so cool.
He just has this stone cold face where he's just like pew pew done.
Yeah, he takes the other one out, and then I guess they immediately stand up and they're fine.
We get an unmorph. Yeah, we get a shot of them unmorphing back into people with clothes on.
And Carlos magically grew clothes.
Carlos grew his shirt back.
He grew his whole uniform back. Like,
I don't know if he was naked. He definitely had something on his lower half. He definitely had no shirt, though.
He was probably in undies. I don't know.
Just imagine he had his pants on, probably.
Probably. They just got his shirt off so they could look at the...
So they could have like a kid color on him and make him look...
Same. Right. Get those Crayola magic markers.
That magic marker money.
It's not Krispy Kreme money, but it'll do.
It's not Krispy Kreme money now.
So then we cut back outside, and Darkonda's there. And this is when he destroys the last of the antidote, and he throws it on the ground. He like steps on it, and he's like, there goes your last chance. But all the other Rangers are there now, and like they're like, we don't need it. We're fine.
Yeah.
What's the point of this? And then Carlos is like, I got a bone to pick with you. And Cassie's like, yeah, me too. And then... Oh, that's after he makes another bug, right?
Yeah, because he makes another bug come out, and then this bug turns into a big version.
This one anamorphs into a Mega Man X character.
Yeah.
Then Darkonda just grows it himself?
Yep, he holds his hand out, and some kind of, like, magic beam comes out of it. Because that's when Carlos and Cassie are like, we have a bone to pick with you. And then Darkonda's like, well, there will be plenty of him to go around, and then grows him.
Yeah. So then they call the Astro Mega Ship, and... we get a really awesome thing where there's like this standoff, and the Astro Mega Ship like puts his hand out and does the like
the just bring
and
it.
It's literally facing the other way.
Yeah, he's
to turn its head to go come at me, bro.
It's so good. I call it the John Woo moment because that's like in every John Woo movie. There's this moment where like the good guy just like zen and doesn't care, and the bad guy's like all riled up. And he's like, come on, what you gonna do?
That's exactly how The Rock did.
It's literally
like, he's standing sideways and everything, like shot for shot. That's a The Rock. Just bring it.
Maybe whoever.
This is 98.
98. Rock was on top.
He was.
He was doing pretty good then.
Maybe not when Mega Ranger came out though.
Oh no, that would have been 97.
They're pretty close.
It would have been like a year at most. So
hopefully he wasn't still Rocky Maivia then.
No, that was 90 like six. He was done with it. I don't know. I don't know The Rock's intimate history. I know at some point he was Hollywood Rock, and then he left forever, and then came back and was never going to leave again. And we didn't see him for 5 months. This is just like some wrestling history. Just like
I figured,
just for you, you know, Alan. Just so you can get caught up on The Rock.
You used kayfabe earlier, so
you did.
Like you opened up. The
I got
floodgate.
That term from you.
I imagine,
or y'all.
You all was fine.
I'll take either.
Anyway, so they fight. There's like a lot of dodging because they don't want to get stung in the Megazord, I guess. What if the Megazord turned into a robot version of this monster?
Ooh.
That would be pretty turbo, huh?
Yeah.
That would be super turbo.
He'd be a robot version. He could be piloted by the Carlos Ranger version.
Yeah. Oh, if they only had
then they would have to use Delta Megazord to stop it.
Yeah. hopefully that doesn't get taken over.
Yeah, we don't see Delta Megazord this episode.
No, I think this might be an earlier episode.
Right.
Because they tend to only use the new cool stuff when they once they get it. They spin the saber up and they kill him and he dies and Darkonda dips out. And then we cut back to the Astro, to the Dark Fortress, and Kloopy's there bad-mouthing Darkonda. Like, yeah, see? Stupid idiot. Brilliant. All of his plan failed. Like, every part of it. Like, the rangers are fine. The bugs are all gone. Like, nothing worked. And then Darkonda comes in, and unlike when Elgar was, like, talking crap about Kloopy, Kloopy doesn't shut up. Kloopy doesn't care about Darkonda.
No. So he gets in his face again.
Yeah. He just hates him.
Yeah.
So Darkonda says, like, he figured out that the only real Power Ranger, like, trained Power Ranger is the red one, which is wrong.
He says,
to be fair, he said Space Ranger.
He does say that Andros is the only true Space Ranger.
Right. Okay.
But
that doesn't matter.
TJ is a former leader of a Power Ranger team. So his plan is to separate them from Andros.
Yeah.
So they don't have a leader. But TJ would just step in as the leader.
Right. And he's like, I have just a plan. And Astronomer's like, ooh, tell me more. And they kind of walk off. Well, I assume under the mask, Kloopy scowls.
Yeah.
It's an implied scowl. So then we cut to Andros being sad on the top of a building, presumably on KO-35, because there's nobody else here.
Yeah.
The whole planet is empty.
And we never got a shot of the megaship taking off.
We do know it's KO-35, because whenever he's talking to Ashley, and Ashley's like, are you okay? He was like, yeah, that over there is the last place I saw my sister.
We get the whole flashback again, too, of like him playing with Caron as a baby, and then Caron getting taken. And I feel like we can talk about it now because we knew it was Darkonda, but like Caron is definitely taken by Darkonda, like for sure.
Yeah.
The last time they tried to hide it and try to make it like blurry. Well,
and also last time we had not seen Darkonda yet.
Mm-hmm. But now it's like pretty clearly Darkonda is the one who took it. So the plot thicks. Bum, bum, bum. And Ashley's like, just like cheers him up or comforts him or something. I don't exactly remember what she says. And they walk away, and that's the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Alan, you are our guest. What's the best?
For me, the best was probably the Cassie on the or not Cassie, the Ashley on the bridge, where they're coming through the doors, and she's like, they're building tension. They're trying something new. It felt very different, but still fun and interesting. So, I would give it to that.
Yeah. You started, so I get to go next. Uh-huh. Mine is similar to that. It's the shot of him falling and just like Wild West gunslinger TJ right behind him, just being like the dopest dude. What's yours?
I think the introduction of Darkonda is another competent, like, it doesn't work for Astronema, but will work with Astronema. And he's also like kind of nudging Ecliptor to the back.
Yeah.
So it's a good, like, they're both evil. They both have the same end goal, but they're also competing with each other.
I'm excited to see where it goes because I don't really remember. I don't know what his, like, end goal is. I don't know what his, like, end game is.
I can't remember either.
I'm kind of excited.
This is really my first time through space, so.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're in for
it. I mean, I know a lot of the major spoilers, but this is my first time getting to experience it as it goes.
Nice. It's a good one.
I'm enjoying it so far, except for the grandma episode.
Grandma episode was real bad.
We didn't talk about the grandma episode. That was a leftover Turbo episode that they had to make.
That they forgot that they didn't make it. So, Alan, what is the worst?
The worst to me is the antidote thing with Darkonda.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't really be that bad, except that Andros literally goes, hey, we don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, he makes the point of being like, hey, dude, that was completely pointless.
Yeah, you're showing off for you now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the same thing, but more the fact that, like, they do this too much, where, like, the bad guys are like, yeah, look what we did. And the Rangers are like, we don't care. Like, you have to make it, like, there's no drama when you do stuff like that. And, like, you need there to be, like, a little bit of, I know it's for dumb babies, but, like, you gotta give them something.
And especially in this episode, where they've done such a good job of building tension, building drama, doing all this, and then you have that, and it's just kind of like, wah, wah.
Yeah, it's like, also, I guess Darkonda's an idiot and a loser? Oh, weird, you idiot loser.
Well, he is a bad guy.
Well, yeah. Josh, what's the worst?
Probably also that.
Cool.
Because I can't think of anything else in the episode aside from Andros being like, I will shoot it now.
That was also
pretty bad. Really bad.
Yeah.
Al, who's the MVP?
I'm actually going to give it to Darkonda because he's competent. He's smooth. He's he presents an actual threat to the Rangers that they haven't had since Ecliptor first made the scene.
Right.
He also provides a really interesting foil for Ecliptor, so that's going to add more to it. I really think he worked in this episode.
I don't think they've ever done this before. Maybe like with Gadget or with Prince
Gasket.
Gasket. Mm-hmm. Not Gadget. I'll get you, Gadget. I think. Other than with Gasket, but that was even kind of weird because, like, the footage didn't really match up and it was, like, mostly American stuff when he was dealing with Sprocket. They've never really introduced, like, another bad guy to, like, play off the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. I'm going to say the MVP is... no, I gave my best to TJ. I can't also give him the MVP. Yes, I can.
Well,
it's
he did
my
some
show.
Wet stunts on that surfboard.
There were some pretty wet stunts.
There was a great ab shot.
Those mm-hmm. abs are always very impressive. And that shot was just so cool that, like, I can't imagine anything not being the image for that for this episode but that. So, Josh, who's your MVP?
I think Ashley.
Mm. Okay.
For, like, just like, being stuck with the job of having to be alone on the megaship with two
right.
monsters. Or a monster and a half at the time.
Yeah.
And then when they did break in, she was terrified but didn't just shoot because she knows that that's her friend
yeah.
in there. And I think that whole scene was very well
done. It was really, really
yeah.
good.
Yeah, and she did, like, try to reason with them first, and, like, you know she did not want to shoot them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's got a lot of good character growth in this
season so
season.
Far.
And
yeah.
then, like, well, the last little bit of Turbo was, like from the mechanic episode on, they're like, hey, maybe Ashley has something to her. And then this episode, yeah. this season, they're like, yeah, she does. She totally does.
I kind of want to give an honorary MVP, though, but it's not to a character.
To whom, then?
To the director.
Okay.
I really feel like, was it Judd Lynn that
directed?
It was
Judd Lynn, yeah.
He knocked this one out of the park. The camera work, the way he set up shots, the way the actor, like, he got a lot out of his actors in this go-round. I really think he did an excellent job with this episode.
Same. I think every time he directs, it's always a kind of weirder episode, and it's always, like more interesting, and like they do different stuff than they would normally do. So I'm always pretty happy to see him direct. Also, he did manage to make sure that Carlos did not have to talk a lot. just play into their strengths, man. Just like mm-hmm. just be shirtless and sweaty, and people will be into that. You don't have to do a voiceover, please. He did a little one later, but not a lot. Any other final thoughts?
Mm-mm.
No,
but I think now that Darkonda's here. In Space is gonna start.
Yeah,
like
for,
the In Space that
sure.
I remember it mm-hmm. being is gonna kind of kick off.
They got rid of the last of the chaff with the grandma episode.
Yeah.
And then, so yeah, that's gonna do it for us for today. Alan, thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Yeah. Literally in your house.
Yeah, you are in my house. So like I had to I do have to have you.
The only other thing we could have done is put you on the porch for an hour.
That would have
played Zelda.
That would have been rude. That's been rude.
Well, he does have Zelda though.
You do have a Zelda. What is the next episode? Does anybody know?
I don't have the list up.
I have the list up.
TJ's identity crisis?
Oh, yeah. I think Arlie's going to be on for that one, provided schedules can match up, because this is a busy week. Well, it was a busy week a week and a half ago when we would have recorded it, because we're pretty far ahead right now.
Right.
That'll be pretty fun. She requested the episode specifically, so I'm assuming it's a good
awesome.
One. So we'll see you next time for that. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Bye.
Other places, probably. And if what happened to my throat?
He's dead.
Oh no.
He's gone.
I know CPR.